Tech Talk underway. Doug Swinhart joins us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Follow up on that rumor of In-N-Out maybe coming to this part of the world, Chicago and the Twin Cities. It certainly hasn't been concerned. But on the text line, we got a couple. How about Waffle House? I love Waffle House. That's another one down south, Doug. I don't know if you've ever been to a Waffle House, but
I have.
Pretty good.
I really enjoyed it. Down south as well.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good stuff. And then a follow-up on In-N-Out. Someone said In-N-Out burgers are awesome. The fries are awesome. They take the raw potatoes in restaurant. I've been sitting in the drive-thru, and they do it. And they got a machine that peels them and makes the fries from potatoes right in restaurant. And someone saying, let's get one here. I can't imagine how busy that would be. Doug, I know you're always very busy, and we appreciate your time. And we want to open with a call on the program today, and Rick joins us. Rick, you're on the air with Doug.
Yeah, hi, Doug. Quick question about my my desktop. I bought a new HP desktop maybe 3-4 years ago, and it was advertised as being Windows 11, but half the time when I'm working with an app, it says I'm running Windows 10. So what's with that?
That's probably pretty normal. They're so interchangeable that a lot of the apps didn't update properly. That's probably coming from the app. I don't think it's a big deal as long as it's running. I would really, if it was my machine, I'd take it back to 10. But if you're doing fine, don't bother. Just write it out. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and Doug, let's talk about that. You know, you have Windows 10 and the upgrade to Windows 11 and all of the things we've talked about with that transition. You mentioned talking about taking it back to Windows 10. Is that doable? Is that easy for someone to do if they choose to just say, hey, I'm going to go back to 10 and I'm going to stick with it and so on and so forth?
To be perfectly frank, probably not the simplest methodology to do that. The only way that I would feel comfortable doing it is to strip that hard drive down to absolutely nothing and start with a fresh install.
Oh,
yeah, going backwards with anything Microsoft is, even if it looks like it's going to run, it generally, there's going to be some issues with you in the future for sure, especially in updates. So I would just buy a new hard drive because they're so cheap today. Take the old hard drive out so you've got a full copy, pop it in, and reinstall Windows 10 Pro, and you're good to go.
Yeah. And Doug, we've talked about this frequently, and this controversy and the trouble some people have had. I've talked to some people that said, hey, you know, I updated my computer to Windows 11, and things seem to be going fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that experience for most, because I know with anything there can be problems. People can have problems with Macs or Linux or whatever.
Absolutely.
But in general, some of the people that run Windows 11 and have a Windows 11 machine are saying, yeah, I have a relatively new machine. The update went pretty smooth, and I haven't noticed any trouble.
That's great. I think that's probably true for, I'm going to just, and this is a complete guesstimation. I have no idea. I'm thinking 30 to 40% of the people who have Windows 11 are of that mindset. I think there's probably 60 to 70% somewhere in there where, something drastic has happened, or it's just not what it should be, or they're missing something. I find it a little strange that people would say things like that when they're missing the Windows Explorer. I mean, that's a file manager. they must not be doing much with their computers, but maybe they still have it. Maybe they've got an older version.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what's going on there, Steve.
Yeah, and I would assume if someone walks into a store, their favorite retailer, and buy a Windows machine, desktop, laptop, wherever that is, from Micro Center to Sam's Club or Costco or Target, Walmart, wherever you shop, and you buy a new computer, chances are that it's going to have Windows 11 in it right out of the gate, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, almost definitely.
Yeah.
So they were all geared up for 11, well, over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so all the machines coming in that were built on what's called a NetSlam, they're coming down the assembly line and they're being built and put together. And before they ever go in a box, they get this NetSlam that's a partial install to the hard drive. That way they turn it on. They don't have to fiddle around with any files and brings it up to say who you are and tries to force you to install everything when you're online with a Microsoft account. So, it's almost guaranteed it's going to be 11. Now, your more technical places, Micro Center, for example, I'm absolutely certain they are all prepared. And when people say, I'd rather have Windows 10 Pro, they'll do it for you before it's out the door, guaranteed. I don't know if they charge for it. If they do, I don't think it'd be much. But that's something, too, that I think people should really know how to do. So new computers, there's no data on it. Just get your Windows 10 and download an ISO from Microsoft and put it on a USB drive and let the good times roll. It'd be excellent, excellent experience.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to visit with Doug here on Tech Talk, here are the numbers, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, and let's get this out of the way early, and we talk about it every week, because I know you feel strongly about it, and that is Prevazor.
Oh.
And if you haven't done it, folks, do yourself a favor. Try the free version, Privazer. Doug, you've been talking about it for years, but if you have a Windows machine, whether it's brand new, bought it this week, or you've been running one for a while, you're absolutely going to love this program.
No question about it. And I love the way they've changed their website not too long ago. It says, best free cleaner and deep cleaning tool available. It cleans and removes unwanted traces of your past activities. So it's actually promoting the privacy aspect as well. This thing is just an absolute piece of gold. I can't say enough good things about Prevazor. And the fact that people can download it and install it and run the free version for as long as they need to, I think that's just a cream little creme, in my opinion. But I also think that, you know, if you can't afford to pay their suggested, send them $10. They'll still give you the license. They appreciate your money and they appreciate your business. But it's Privazer.com. Every Windows user should have it on their machine and run it religiously.
Yeah, and what they show at their site, you can buy the pro version for $49.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about that is a bargain. What can you get for $49 anymore? Not much.
Yeah, I try to donate $100 a year to them. I really want this project to move forward.
Yeah.
It must. As long as there's going to be Windows users, we're going to need Prevazor.
Yeah, and when you talk about privacy, and this is another one. We brought up cameras a week ago, and we have a need for some exterior cameras at work, particularly in the loading dock area. We've just found a need. We had some suspicious activity, shall we say, back there, and we thought it was a good idea. But we don't want to go out and, at the moment, spend a ton of money on a fully wired security system, and we want to experiment with just some relatively easy, where you get an app, and you can bring up the camera, and it ties into the Wi-Fi network at work, in the office. This isn't for home use. This is just experiment with at work. Put a couple of cameras outside, see how it goes.
Yeah, what, you know, I got just a camera for you. We'll chat later on eBay. $60.
Yeah, and we actually bought one that I'm playing with right now. It's kind of my job to play with it and get it up and running, and I did get it up and running. Got the app, it connected it, and so on and so forth. But in that setup, they do ask for access to a lot of stuff. And I said, nope.
No, you don't have to give them that. Nope.
And
that's one of the things I look for in any security camera.
Sure.
Do I have to be connected to a website to configure the camera? Do I have to be connected to a website to save the data? Can I save the data on my local area network? Well, and this one I was talking about checks all the boxes. And in fact, it's a window camera. You can stick it to a window and you can do it outside. So it's just reflecting right outside. Beautiful setup. And the big thing with this camera is this one comes stock with Wi-Fi 6. It's the most secure wireless camera I've ever seen. What a little sweetheart. High resolution, activates with motion, does all kinds of things you would not expect a cheap camera to do. Now, for your business, when they get to the point to where they feel they are ready to put in a security system, I highly, highly recommend that they only consider PoE, Power Over Ethernet, wired. Everything is wired. And again, those same questions. Do I have a monthly fee with some website to just have the thing operational? That's huge. Do I have to be connected? You don't want to give these people any more information than you have to. It isn't a question of trust. It's simply a matter of good business. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And what's interesting about this is that in configuring it, and it was well-reviewed, well-thought-of, so on and so forth, and, you know, connecting it, not giving them access to anything they don't need, and so on and so forth. It works. It works fine. You can do storage of some of the data on a little, SSD card, little one you can put in there. You can really limit access. You can password protect.
Perfect.
But it leads me to another thing, and I just want to get into it before our weather break here at the bottom of the hour. Probably not a bad idea. You have young kids, you have pets, seniors around the house having a camera or cameras, but setting it up in a way where you also are able to protect your privacy. And that takes a little bit of research. You can find some cheapies out there, but Doug, I just feel this is an area where people need to be leery.
Oh, absolutely. Be aware. And things like motion detection and stuff like that, you know, most people aren't going to need that for indoors, but outside it's a good plan.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
But a lot of these will say, well, I got to have access to your whole customer, your clients, to your contact list. No, you don't. Absolutely not.
No.
I have to have access to your system files. Oh, maybe while you're setting it up, but that's it. And then I want a record of where you've gone. Yeah, that's what I think is missing in a lot of the installs is I think that every one of these software packages, regardless how well-known, when that's installed, you get this document that's saved to your hard drive, of course, that tells everything that they put on your computer, everything that they deleted, everything that was changed in any way whatsoever. And it's documented. Now you got a track if something goes wrong. I don't know why we're not doing this. Should be automatic, built into every software package that you install. That's my opinion, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, and like I say, it is handy, but I still think it interests me on who at some point may have access to what's on that camera. And that, I think, starts to get into a muddy area that people need to consider before they put cameras everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
it was like this, it's like this little incident that just took place up in Brooklyn Park not too long ago. They were tapping into it for law enforcement without telling anybody. Oh, boy. I want the law enforcement to have all the tools that they need, but I just am not comfortable with them grabbing people's cameras without their knowledge.
Yeah, constant surveillance has to be a concern. But, once again, this is an area where I stress read reviews, go to independent sites that test these cameras, and then, once again, Doug had a lot of great tips. Make sure that you're in control of what that camera captures.
That's right. And another good site that I don't think we've mentioned in a while, Steve, is TrustPilot.com. TrustPilot.com. I check Trustpilot whenever I'm going to install almost anything. I love that website. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, and quick follow-up on our text line. This is a good one. Privazer, P-R-I-V-A-Z-E-R. This is a trusted program. It is something you can run on your Windows machine. You can try it for free. You can buy the pro version right now, $49. And Doug, you swear by it.
Just can't go wrong.
Weight in gold, for sure. P-R-I-V-A-Z-E-R. If you have a Windows machine, it is definitely a good one. When we come back, we'll talk about something kind of in the way back machine. Kaspersky. Remember that? We'll get Doug's thoughts on that when we return. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug, you can do that. You can call or text 651-461-9226. We have the weather in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk for another 20 minutes or so, and we invite you to give us a call or text, 651-461-9226. Speaking of that, Doug, we want to go right to the phone lines. And Robin, you're on the air with Doug.
Hello, Doug.
Hi.
Hi. I have an old Dell laptop that crashed, and I lost all of my documents and email. Is there any way to get it up and running?
Possibly. I would. I'd be more concerned about seeing if we could save your data. Yeah, try that too. Chances are, even if it isn't new enough or up to date enough to be a Windows 11 machine, you've got several alternatives. Linux, you could turn it into a Chromebox, Chromium, and just a pure Chromebox. You got several alternatives. I actually like the older equipment. I think that today a lot of people are buying new computers and they're putting their old computers up in the top of the closet or throwing them in the garbage. They're throwing away a better computer.
Yeah.
I've seen it more than once. So, yeah, I would definitely want to check it out before I went tossing it out and going to buying a new one.
Well, and here's the concern. And she what struck me about what she said, documents and emails.
Yeah.
Now, if you had web-based email, no concern. Right. You could go to a Chromebook. You could go to a machine in the business center in a hotel and log on and get your email. If you have locally-based email in 2026, that's not a good idea.
I have seen cases, Steve, where people thought that they lost their email, and I started looking. I go, well, you got a web-based account. Here's your email.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole lot better than digging around trying to find emails that on a crashed hard drive, having to take the platters out of the drive and put it in a different drive, and it can get pretty intense. So, yeah, do the simple stuff first. She may very well have web-based email and not know it.
Yeah, and that is a big key. And I think beyond that, having more than one web-based email account, I've said it before, I've got Gmail, I've been playing around with Proton, that's the newest. I have a Yahoo account that I've had for years.
Yep.
And all my email is still there. It's web-based. Doesn't matter if I'm on a Chromebook or on my MacBook Air or my computer at work, I can always get to my email. So that's one. Documents, this is another thing. Even if the computer crashed and she got the blue screen of death, chances are those documents or photos or whatever stored on that hard drive still exist. What should she do with that to preserve that? That's probably the biggest thing in all of this is, can someone access that hard drive? Can someone get that stuff out of there if it died?
It would surprise me if we couldn't salvage part of it or all of it.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
Yeah, these hard drives, and the way that it's set up, a computer is set up in such a way to where if there's an electrical problem or a surging or a hit by lightning, whatever, doesn't matter. They're set up in such a way that the computer will forfeit every part, every piece, every component before the hard drive to minimize or alleviate any damage to your data. And that's the way, been that way for 40 plus years. And that has to be that way. Nonetheless, everybody needs to have backups and copies. That's him. And we've been preaching that since day one, Steve, and rightfully so. But it's absolutely crucial. And the number of times I've heard, well, I think I lost it, and, well, no, you really didn't. Or at least we got 80% or 90% or 60%. At least it's something.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where she said her computer died, and someone's in that boat. They can't get it to work. What are the steps? What do they do? And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program if you want to reach out to Doug. But what should she do in this circumstance? Because she obviously sound concerned. What's the
next
step?
I wouldn't turn the computer on. And if it hits my doorstep, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pull that hard drive out, and I'm going to connect it to my Linux box to see if the hard drive's okay and it's all computer related. Maybe it could be a motherboard. Could be all kinds of things.
Power and
maybe
supply.
Maybe it's probably heat. Hard to tell, but I want to go for that data first.
Yeah, and that is the thing. You know, don't give up on that machine if you can't get it to power up. Could be something as simple as a power supply.
Or a jack.
Monitor could be bad. It could be up and running and the monitor doesn't work. There are a lot of things, but you're absolutely right. And there are companies, worst case scenario, that can access that hard drive. You may need to be prepared to spend a little money, but they can take that apart and extract data from that hard drive.
Indeed.
So, that is a scary thing. And that's why, as you pointed out, we preach over and over, external hard drives are so cheap right now.
Dirt cheap. Absolutely dirt cheap.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a really nice external hard drive anywhere in town. $25?
Oh, yeah. And don't get too carried away with an external hard drive that's for data only. You don't need the most expensive. Get a spinner. Get something from that. The Seagate has never given up on the rotary drives. They're selling more rotary drives than the rest of them put together. I love it.
Yeah, and we're talking very affordable here. We are not talking, and you can get a big one. You don't need a big one. Most people don't need 2 terabytes.
Oh, goodness,
500 gigabyte external hard drive, $30.
Try giving them away for $5 or $7.
Yeah, I mean, they're just deals all over here. 500 gigabyte external hard drive. $29.55.
Perfect.
So you don't need a ton. Just do yourself a favor. And then, of course, you can use my strategy. If you have 2 email accounts, this is a good one. You have a photo, you have a video, or a document you absolutely positively don't want to lose. Just email it to the other account. Simple as that. And then it's backed up at in your 2 different emails.
Best Buy's got a terabyte Seagate for $69.99. You can't go wrong.
More storage than you'll ever need.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So that is something that folks need to keep in mind. By the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email, but the woman who called right out of the gate following the weather, do not give up on that machine. Don't despair. You can get help to access your email and the data there. Here's from our text line. I have an old expired version of Kaspersky on my computer. What would be a recommended software to replace it with, or should I just continue with that same software?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, if he's doing well with Kaspersky and he likes it, he could keep it. Personally, I would be looking at Bitdefender. Yeah. They're just doing a great job. Now, to get rid of that, he's going to want to use AV removal tool, antivirus removal tool, and you can download that free. That's going to make absolutely certain that that's completely out before I install something different. Other than that, there's really not much we can recommend, Steve.
So, Doug, AV as in...
antivirus.
Removal.
Yeah, I just go to Google and type in antivirus removal tool, and it'll come up.
All right.
So I love that program. I've been using it for well over 15 years.
And then you talk about Bitdefender. There's a lot of paid ones out there. There's been a lot of antivirus around, but you're still on Bitdefender as being the way to go.
Well, here's the thing. Bitdefender is one of the few that still offer a free antivirus. Now, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles and the automatic this and that, but for people who can't afford it, that's the way to go. And I think Avira still is offering, and I believe Komodo's about ready to release a new one as well. See, once one of them does it, well, they almost all have to know. Now, with Bitdefender, the paid versions, I love how lean they run. They take up hardly any resources and just do an incredible job taking care of antiviruses and all malware. Just keep in mind, we still got to be conscientious users today, and there's some new ransomware running around that are costing people some big dollars. So, you know, just pay attention to where you're going, and if you start to see these notices, don't react. Just shut off your computer and call a professional.
And here's another thing, Doug, and this is another reminder. We harp on it all the time. When you get an email or you get a text, and it has a link, and it's an urgent call to action. You need to send money. You owe money. It's something with Social Security. It's something with the bank. It's something like that, an urgent call to action. Stop, pause, and do a little research beyond that. Do not click on the link. Do not respond to that.
No.
Take your time. Urgent calls to action are a major red flag.
This is ugly. They're feeding on people's emotions, and they're trying to get a quick reaction. And anytime I feel that, I just stop. Take a breath. If it's a good deal today, it's a good deal tomorrow. If it's important today, it'll be important next week as well. So let's find out who we're dealing with here first.
Yes.
I love the one where, well, you got a distant relative that's left you $13,000 in inheritance, but you must act by 11 o'clock this morning. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that is just or misspelled words. I love that, too. You got this professional-looking email. They've copied the logos, and they've reproduced this thing, but then they misspell three or four words, and I mean obvious misspellings.
Well, here's another one that I get all the time, and it comes from UPS, allegedly, or FedEx, or the United States Postal Service. You have a package.
That's not real.
They're trying to deliver. Click here for more information on where you can pick this up.
Yep.
And the instance is, I'm getting a package. I want to click on that.
Yep.
Anything that asks you to take immediate action, don't.
Oh, be leery.
Don't.
We couldn't say it enough, Steve. Yeah. Be suspicious immediately.
Yeah. Any links, any attachments, etc. You get an attachment. It looks like someone you know. Check into it. Check their email carefully. Where did that come from? That's how you open the door to real problems. Hey, a quick break. We'll come back with more tech talk from the text line. Sister has a computer. She's the administrator. Forgot her password.
Okay.
How do we reset that? We'll get Doug's thoughts on that in a moment here on Tech Talk, a news talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug. Always great to visit with him. We have the news and weather at 4. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. All right, Doug, quickie here. I want to get in. This person has malware bites. Do they need another antivirus? Doug mentioned two other is Malware Bytes okay?
Oh, I love Malware Bytes. Great people. They're a U.S. company. They've been struggling, like the rest of them, financially. It's a tough business, this software business today. But they're doing okay. I really like Malware Bytes. I should talk about them more often. But, they're fine. Long as they're up to date and they got a package that they're paying for, they're good. I really like their online interface, too, by the way.
Yeah.
They'll keep track of your licenses for you and the whole nine yards. That does a nice job. I think they perhaps might even be better at that than Bitdefender. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with malware bytes. Not in the least.
Yeah, so that is a good one. Here's one we brought up before the break. I got a computer for my sister. She's the administrator on it, and she forgot her password. How do I go about resetting that? Is it doable?
Sure. My favorite, I got a little package called PC Unlocker. And I bought the pro version for, I think, $30. But the home user, $19. And it'll unlock anything. And you can keep that and you can use it in the future or let somebody else use it. Now, if you're looking for a one-time solution and you're looking for something free, get on another computer and look up Hiren's Boot CD. H-I-R-E-N-S. Boot, B-O-O-T, CD. Now, you'll have to build a USB or some kind of a bootable media, but that's been free for, well over 20 years. That has a whole series of utilities, and it's freeware. Not just publicware, it's freeware.
All right, so there is a way to do it, but
oh, sure.
it's one of those, better if you don't.
Well, exactly, and never forget, you can go to YouTube and you can put right in the search box, my Windows 11, Windows 10 machine, I've lost my password. How to unlock it? And you will be amazed at how many. There's a lot of them that actually work with Windows. And they have you start it up in safe mode, and sometimes it can get a little involved. But just fantastic resource for stuff like that is YouTube.
Yeah, and Doug, is it one of those real quick? And we've got a caller waiting. I want to get to it. Does it get more complicated if you own a Mac and you forget that password?
Oh, my, yes. Well, okay. Yes and no. If you're sitting at the terminal, you're in good shape. And I think it's like two little lines that will stop. Now, I haven't done it with the new ones. This is the old operating system, which is a lot like Linux.
Okay.
And people are like, oh, you know, Windows is insecure because you can change the password. There's nearly almost every computer. If you are sitting at the terminal, there's a method to do that. Yeah, during the boot, once it's booted, if you got even sudo access, you're going to be able to change that password. So
okay.
This is common throughout.
All right, we want to squeeze in a quick call before the end of the show. Let's go to Rick in Stillwater. Rick, you're on the air, but please go quick.
Hi, guys. I got a PC, a new HP, to replace my older one. And I got a product called PC Mover by LapLink. And my question is, do you think I should trust that process if I'm
Absolutely.
Pretty much a neophyte? Or should I bring it to, like, Best Buy and pay more to have it done?
Oh, I think you're more trustworthy just taking care of just using LapLink. LapLink's been around a long time and has a tremendous reputation. I would not hesitate to suggest that you use that in a heartbeat. You're going to be just fine. I actually think you're probably going to do a better job than taking it somewhere because it's your data.
Yeah.
Sometimes do-it-yourself is better. I think this is one of those instances, and I hope that helps.
Hey, great call, Rick, and good luck with that. I still would prefer if he had a full copy of his data set aside on an external hard drive before he started this, I would feel better about that.
Well, I'll tell you what. LapLink is going to instruct him to do that before they even go. Now, he can bypass that, but I would agree with you. There's nothing wrong with an extra copy, and it doesn't take that long. That way, you're just 100% golden. But you know, he probably is going to figure out that, well, I can take that copy now over to my new machine and just paste it over there. I don't need LapLink. I don't need Best Buy. I don't need anything. Watch and see. I like that. That's a good suggestion, Steve. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, Doug, we've got to run. Great show. It went quickly today. A lot of calls and texts. Mm-hmm. And, Doug, how do people reach you? What's your phone number and email?
Thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin, A-D-M-I-N, at WCCOtech.com. WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and have a good weekend, and stay warm.
Yeah, you as well, Doug. There he is, Doug Swindhart, joining us, and it is Tech Talk.